1 Samuel chapter 17. As you're turning there, I'll share a little story. I shared some of the story not that long ago. Were you here? Did you remember when I was talking about the floor project, the installation of flooring throughout my house, the season that just kept going on and on, the season, and finally the job was done? And so it's that piece is a part of this story. And if we go backwards in time, there's a time when I would never even have dreamed of attempting something like that, and I would only do the simple things like pre-cut trim for doors, right? So it's already mitered 45 at the corners. You buy it in a pack, and all you do is cut the bottoms off, and then it fits, and you nail it up. That was where I started. And then time went on. I remember it was probably about 10 years ago. I really wanted a deck on the back of our house. I mean, there was this big door that just kind of opened up into a drop-off, and so it literally was missing a deck. And so I did that, and it's still there. Won't call it my best work. Brother Paul Dorflinger, I now realize why joists have to be a certain distance. They're not supposed to be wider. I mean, if you ran out of one, you can't just skip it. And if you're ever on my deck, you'll find that springy spot. It's a learning process. And so then, there's been a few things with the floor project. Well, that was probably the most ambitious. I've learned now, as I think about projects, I need to forecast them more accurately. As I've seen a pattern now start to emerge as I've done these projects. So if I think it's going to take 2 weeks, I need to times that by five. So 2 weeks equals 10 weeks, and whatever the budget I thought it was going to be, double that. And the ambition and positive attitude I started with will surely be gone by the time I finish 10 weeks later. And so I don't know why I just keep self-inflicting these things on myself. I decided, well, there's someone that... So there's someone that influences me greatly in these decisions. But the most recent project, again, thought it was 2 to 3 weeks, 6 or 7 weeks later. So I probably would have another, I don't know how many weeks left, dear Lord, is the cabinets in the kitchen. Yeah, so they keep becoming more complex and more difficult, and I'm learning them for the first time every time. And so it was funny today as I was re-putting up some old trim around a door, the old door. I was like, man, I really didn't know what I was doing way back then. But I still put it back up anyways. We'll fix it another time. And I can say, as I look at these cabinet doors, the ones at the beginning aren't as good as the ones at the end, because, 40 doors later, you get a little better. So I remade a couple of those ones at the beginning. I guess the point of the story is that there's always a progression. Yes. We don't ever start big. I mean, I'm pretty sure you don't start trying to build a house. You start building a birdhouse or framing doors with pre-cut trim. But it's normal that over time you build on your experiences and you somehow venture off into more, and then you build on more, and right, it's normal. It's a progression that happens. The things you do today, you may not have ever considered doing them when you were younger, when you didn't have those experiences, but now that you have had those experiences, you're able to and you're willing to, and in fact, you have confidence in some cases. Not me with these things, but in other situations, yes. I have confidence that I'm going to say no to the next project that comes my way, but at least until next year, right? No for this summer, we're done. Amen. Okay, I'm going to get off that subject now and read from 1 Samuel chapter 17. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." So we have David approaching King Saul, because we know the story of David and Goliath. I'm sure we're all aware of that story, and we've heard it many times. And so here we have David saying, "Hey, this isn't a problem.
And in verse 33, and Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to go fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man from war from his youth. So David looked pretty scrawny from what the Bible is describing him. He was small, he was the runt, he did not have the appearance of a warrior by any means. He was the opposite, in fact. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him and slew him. Can you imagine a wild animal grabbing it by its chin? And no, you don't grab, that's not where you grab a wild bear or a lion. You pull out your 45. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Tonight I just want to share a few simple thoughts about the lion, the bear, and the giant. See, God's always in a progression. He doesn't start you off with the giant. Would you pray with me tonight? Jesus, God, we're grateful, so grateful for your presence that's in this place tonight, God. And for your word that's true, God, we ask that it would speak to our hearts and minds, God, and that your will would be done tonight. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. So tonight, I hope that through the word of God and through the Spirit of God, that somehow someone who might be facing a situation, an attack, an adversary, who knows what thing has entered into your life, and you're wondering, why is this happening? Where are we at, and what's going on? And I just want to convey to you that it may just be your bear or your lion. Or maybe you've had a few skirmishes and God is progressing you. And he says, I saw how you responded when the bear attacked and you passed that test. And I saw how you responded when the lion attacked and you relied on me. And so now you're wondering, why am I in this situation, God? And he's saying, well, because I'm ready to advance you one more step. And so if he was able to take care of us with the lion, if he was able to take care of us with the bear, surely the situation that we're in today, he's able to take care of us just as well. Because he's building on our experiences. He's building a testimony that only is yours. And so while we're oftentimes unsure of the outcome, tonight we just need to take a few steps back and look at the things that God has already accomplished in our lives and helped us overcome. Many things. I mean, the longer you're here, the longer your list is going to be, because God is always in the overcoming business. See, God has this training program that is very individual. My training program is not like your training program, and your training program is not like their training program, and we all have a story, a path that God has been, from the very beginning, before we even understood there was a God, amen, that he was orchestrating things in our lives to allow us to become what we are today, and he will continue. He doesn't stop. He doesn't say, okay, great, you're here. Now I'm just going to let things randomly happen. And you're like, no. He was orchestrating before. He brought you to this understanding of this truth, and he's continued to orchestrate them. You can say, I can look back and see. So why do we sometimes wonder, is he still going to orchestrate what's going to happen and happening even right now? All we have to do is remember the lion and the bear that we've already overcome in our lives, multiple times even. You know, so we can read the Word of God, and we can agree with the Word of God, and we can even believe, truly believe in our hearts the Word of God, but there's something completely different when we experience the Word of God for ourselves. When all of a sudden the precepts and the promises of God, we can say it happened, and here's the situation, and God was true to His Word, and He showed me the way and created a path and delivered me, and all of a sudden the Word of God takes on this whole other meaning. Now, I can't say I've experienced every promise in the Word of God, but if I continue in this training program, chances are I'm going to add to my list of experiences that will then equip me for the next thing and the next thing, because God's still working this training program. You know, I remember coming into the church, and we took an offering tonight, and when I was then taught that there was God required, or His Bible, the Bible says that we should give 10% of our income, I said, okay, I'll do that. And as I did that, I can't say I always did it all the way, all the time. And so in God's training program, just had to create a few situations for me in order to have to trust Him, in order to have to make a decision. Am I going to pay this bill, or am I going to obey the Word of God? Well, I'll try to pay the bill way. No, that doesn't work. Still going bad. Well, let me try the obey the Word of God way. Oh, all of a sudden the money just somehow makes its way further than it did. I didn't make more money, but all of a sudden I'm not in as big a deficit, and oh, let's keep going on this path and see how long it takes. Oh, you know, when I actually give more, things continue to do better. God, right? There's this learning process. Amen. And sometimes the lessons are tough, and sometimes they're not as bad, but I can honestly say, had those tough lessons not happened in my life, I wouldn't be the person I am today. And so was there some easier way? I don't think there was. So if God's let a bear into your life, He's got a plan to conquer it, and it's part of a process. And if He's let a lion in because you conquered the bear, well, He's got a plan and a process for that too. And if you've graduated onto something bigger, if we continue to read, and we're just going to stay in this portion of Scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 17, picking up in verse 38, it says, "And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, your weapons, for I have not proved them. And David put them off." And so he said, so the king was trying to equip him. He said, "Nah, I know, son, you're not well equipped on your own. You're scrawny. You truly are not a warrior. We're going to at least give you, I don't even know if it's a fighting chance, but we're going to give you my armor, my sword. We're going to give you the equipment you should have in order to fight this battle." And David said, I don't know how to use these things. They don't fit me. They don't work for me. I haven't proved them. So as God allows us to go through this training program, as He allows even challenges into our lives, we then pick up new tools. We then pick up new skills. We then start to become better equipped, because had we not had to pick them up, we may not have ever picked them up and applied them the way that we would when we all of a sudden were faced with a challenge. And maybe it's not even a challenge. Maybe there's situations where it's just simply God is trying to tug on our hearts to bring us to a new level, a new commitment, and so that He can use us in a new way, in a new function, a new unction in His Spirit. And about a year ago, I shared some of my own experiences as part of the altar worker training that Sister Bogner has put on a number of times. And I for those who weren't there, I shared how for years and years and years I was like many of us, as we're up at the altar and we're feeling the power of God and God is moving, and you can see a person who's all of a sudden, you know, maybe taking a step up for the first time, or they're they're approaching God, and you can see there's something going on, and you can see it on their face, you can see it in their body language, or even just the fact that they left the pew to come up front. And so for years, I would just go up and I would pray with them and just feel this power and just this desire. We want them to have that experience so bad. I've wanted them to have that experience so bad. But not ever having known what to do or say or how to, I just stayed behind them and laying on a hand, which is good. You know, and men with men and women with women, so on. But then as Sister Bogner shared this information with the altar workers training course, and you know, if you're interested in that, if you haven't had an opportunity, I would highly recommend it. It's not anything we have on the calendar, but I'm sure if there's some hands raised that approach Sister Bogner, she'll put one on the calendar, and then there'll be a few more hands that can go with it. But she started to give an information that I had never received before, and all of a sudden I could use that. And I remember as I went through that training, and I'll give you the short version, it was like, well, you can't give direction standing behind somebody very well, can you? No, you come around and simply face them and talk to them and introduce yourself and ask them if you can pray with them and ask them if they've had this experience and then ask them if they would like to have that experience and then just pray with them. And all of a sudden now it's not I'm from behind hoping something happens, it's now I'm in front of them. And so as I went through this training, I then found myself, I think even that Sunday, the next whatever it was, up at the altar, and God was moving and things were happening and somebody was taking steps forward, and I was like, all right, I've never done this before, but I'm just going to go for it, like Sister Bogner trained us in that altar workers course, and I'm going to approach them from the front and shake their hand and ask them, and God filled that person with the Holy Ghost, and all of a sudden, the equipment that I was given was proved. God showed himself strong in that information and that all of a sudden it was this door opened up to, okay, I want more of that, God. Let's who else needs prayer up here at the altar? And now time has gone by and I'm at junior camp and I'm putting those same tools, that same information into motion, and time again, God has touched and moved in people's lives. And God is never going to ask us to use a tool that we're not equipped to use or put us in a place and a time where there may be a step of faith that we have to take outside of our comfort zone, but he's just wanting to prove his word is true and demonstrate how these tools can be used or this information in this example. And so it's not always a situation of there's an animal, so to speak, a situation coming after you, trying to devour you. It could just simply be, hey, God's trying to pull on you to take a step further than you have before because he wants to elevate you to another place, to build upon your past experiences. But if we're just kind of stuck in where we are at because we're comfortable, well, then we'll never be able to build upon and get to that next thing. I'll still be putting frame around doors that's pre-cut. I don't wish for those days. I really don't. I do get some enjoyment, especially when it's over. But if I didn't, I'm sure I wouldn't say yes to those things. But the tools that God has given us, I shared just the other Sunday night, it doth not appear what we shall become. There's experiences in God that we haven't experienced yet. And as soon as we stop kind of just keeping our thought process open to more, well, then things stop happening more. But there's a fine line between trying to be something we're not and stretching ourselves outside of our comfort zone. And so, you know, we're all, if you've been around this thing for any length of time and you have the Spirit of God in you, God is, he gives us direction. He gives us the unction. I said it just the other night, if we're walking up and down the altar and all of a sudden we feel this, like, we should go pray with that person, and then we just keep walking, and then we walk back, and we get that same, we should go pray with that person feeling, and then we're at the other end of the altar, and we get that feeling, like, I should go back over there and pray with that person. Chances are that's God trying to get you to go pray with that person. He has a way of bringing things kind of in a repetitive back to our minds, even when we're not thinking about it. So as long as we're following that leading, that unction of God, then even if we haven't experienced it yet, God is wanting to prove himself again, once again to us, so that we can be better equipped for the next situation, next opportunity, whatever it might be. You know, the same thing could be true in our witnessing. If, you know, I'm not the best when it comes to witnessing, but I know that if I never practice or try, I'll never get any better at it. And I know the more I witness, the better and easier it becomes. And I'm still working on it. Let me tell you, I know, there's other people who just, they have this ability, but I'm pretty sure they didn't just have this ability. I'm pretty sure they've been practicing. I'm sure they started just as uncomfortable as I started witnessing, but all as time grew on, they actually saw God, people respond, and God proved what he was trying to do, and next thing you know, they're happy to witness to anybody at any time, at any moment, regardless of the circumstances. You know, and as we think about these things, as we're trying to weigh, is it us trying to make it happen or God trying to influence us? At the end of the day, if we'll just be ourselves and not try and become something that we think we should become, then it'll all work out. God made us as individuals with unique experiences, with unique histories that uniquely can connect with people. And so sometimes as we're crossing paths with people, if all of a sudden we have that thing in common, who knows what it is, that might be a sign that God's trying to open up a door that says, hey, I've got a connection here for you to make. Just be yourself, and all of a sudden, who knows where it might lead. So if we continue to read here in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 40, it says in verse 40, he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. You know, God, he has no shortage of tools or I'll say even weapons in his arsenal. Like, what do you want? He's got it all. It's us who has to learn, though, to use those tools, to be willing to be used, to follow that leading even when it doesn't make sense, when it's not always clear where the next step goes. But at the end of the day, the most powerful weapon God has given us is our own testimony, our own experiences. And so again, if we're not open to new experiences, we're going to have a short collection of tools to use. And if we've never gone through any situations and God has never delivered us from anything, well, again, we have a short kind of collection of testimonies to share. But, you know, if God has allowed a situation in your life and he's then delivered you from that situation or shown his word to be true in your life, now when someone crosses your path with that same problem, what do you have? You have a testimony to share about the power of God and the promises of God that had you not gone through that, you would not have that same, right? I can believe the word of God, but once I experience it, it's a whole nother thing. The most powerful tool we have, the most powerful weapon we have is our own experience with God. We can open the Bible and we can debate back and forth, but as soon as I switch to, well, here's what I experienced at church this Sunday, there's no debating that because it's what I experienced at church this Sunday. Amen. If we continue to read in 1 Samuel chapter 17, picking up in verse 41. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about, he saw David and disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog, that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver me into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. You know, we're human nature wants to say, there's a situation, and what's wrong? Is there something wrong with me, God? Did I do something wrong? What can I fix to make this situation go away, God? And it's not necessarily the case. In a lot of situations, God is just allowing us to go through things, one, so we can build our testimony, so he can show himself strong, so his word can become real to us in a way that it didn't or wasn't before, having experienced that thing. And secondly, so that other people can see and know that there is a God. You may not be going through that situation for you. I think about my wife and her own health conditions and the number, how many people over the years that she's touched that know of her health condition and have an understanding of the pain and the struggles that happen in some unusual, unpredictable format and schedule that you just deal with and you go through life, and she's a tough cookie, but could God be using those years of struggles to connect the dots with hundreds, maybe even thousands of people? So that one day he could then use that testimony to impact. Well, yeah, sure, it could have just been a year, or it could have been 2 years. But then it would have just been those people in that time frame. See, God doesn't do anything by accident or mistake. He doesn't allow things into our lives just because he wasn't paying attention that day. Nothing is by accident. There are no such thing as coincidences. And as we're in those situations, and even in this present day, facing challenges in our lives, God is wanting us to look back and review our history with God and say, well, where were those lions? Oh yeah, I remember when God delivered me, when God took care of, when God shut the mouth of the lion that was trying to devour me. Oh yeah, I remember the bear that was coming after me and I grabbed it by the chin. Because if he was there for you before, he's there for you now, and he'll be there for you in the end. And maybe you have been upgraded, so to speak, to a giant. I'm not speaking theoretically. I'm literally speaking the things as God allows them, as he's proven himself, as we've become experienced in our walk with God. He may be looking to upgrade your status to giant killer so that the word of God can be true in your life, so that you can have a testimony like no one else, so that others can see that there is a God and his name is Jesus. Continue to read in 1 Samuel 17 and picking up in verse 48. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. You know, our nature is not to run to problems, and I certainly don't want to sign up for more. In fact, we'd probably rather run the opposite direction when we see challenges come our way. I'm one of those that would just rather it just be, you know, smooth and steady than rough and turbulent. Even if rough and turbulent produces a better outcome, I'd still rather probably go for smooth and steady. But as we start to build our experience with God, as we start to be able to tally up the numbers of bears and the numbers of lions that God has delivered us from, as I look back on my own life and I see those biggest challenges, those worst case scenarios, those situations that God used to develop in me the things that weren't there already, I thank him for them. I'm not volunteering for them again. I'm not looking to sign up for another training program, God, but I thank him for them. And so we shouldn't live in fear of what's the next one. That's not what I'm saying tonight at all. But life is life, and God knows what he's doing, and as things enter our lives, we just need to reflect back and say, okay, I know you delivered me. I know your word is true, and in this situation, it's all going to happen again in your timing, and so I'm going to trust you, God. In fact, I'm going to run face forward into it. I'm not going to go around it. I'm not going to hope. I'm going to aggressively attack it. I'm going to find my way to the altar more. I'm going to find my way to the word of God more. I'm going to push in and press in and do whatever it takes, God, because I'm just not going to sit down and hope it all works out. I'm going to actually run to it. Continue to read in 1 Samuel 17, verse 49. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. You know, as we're in the middle of whatever is our current situation, our current fight, our current bear, lion, or giant, we can't all of a sudden fall back on our own abilities. We can't all of a sudden retreat to the sword, the tools, this flesh. In the middle of your fight, it's not time to try and work it out on your own. In the middle of your fight, it's not time to try and maneuver, manipulate, or control. It's time to just let go and let God fight your battle. Because we know that the more we rely on ourselves, the less God is going to show himself strong on our behalves. And the more we rely on God, the more God's going to show himself strong on our behalves. And so don't get caught in the middle of that battle that God is trying to upgrade your status and go back to the old ways of trying to figure out how to get it done. As we continue to read in 1 Samuel 17, verse 51 now, it says, therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Sharim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. You see, your victory is going to inspire those around you that they can have victory. Your confidence in God from your past experience is going to inspire other people to have confidence of God in God. Your willingness to fight, to use the weapons of spiritual warfare, is going to inspire someone else to use the weapons of spiritual warfare. God has got every one of us on an individual training program. Unique battles, unique bears, unique lions, unique giants even. But every one of them is for a purpose and for a cause. And tonight, if we'll all stand, there's zero possibility that we aren't all faced with something. I would say, so let me say it the other way. We are all faced with something. Tonight, today, this week, this month, this year. And maybe that something's been around for a long, 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 long time, and maybe it's new, recent. You know, sometimes the giants we're facing are actually ourselves. The one that just keeps coming back. Can't somehow get away from it. Everywhere we go, we're there. You know, David, a man after God's own heart, you know, all throughout the Bible, David, a man who worshiped, who praised, who followed the leading of God, who was the giant killer. He didn't fall prey to the lion. He didn't fall prey to the bear. He didn't fall prey to the giant. He fell prey to himself, his own flesh. And so tonight, as we open up this altar, I don't know what your lion is. I don't know what your bear is. But I know God has already delivered you, and I'm sure more than one time. And if he got you to this truth, and if he got you this far, he's going to continue to get you the rest of the way. And whatever it is, it's for a purpose. And maybe it's for you as he's trying to upgrade your status, or maybe it's for someone else so that he can use the testimony of what God is working in your life so that they can know that there's a God. And even if that giant is yourself, God has helped each and every one of us overcome ourselves time and time again. And if he did that before, he'll do it again. So tonight, as we open up this altar, let's not walk around that thing. Let's not walk the other way, but let's walk straight on for it and bring it to God and ask him for his help, for his intervention, like he did before, like he did that other time. Thank you, Jesus.